Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to episode 2 of our podcast, which is called After the Final Whistle. And with me is my co-host tonight is Han Solo. Han, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, Alex. We're back. Love it. Love that we've got the opportunity to do another podcast and, you know, review the remainder of the MPLW season. So no, it's great to be here, and yeah, hopefully you guys will enjoy what's coming next as well. So thanks, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So it was unfortunate news last week that the Football Victoria have announced that they will cancel the season or stop the remainder of the season, which I think was probably, in hindsight, probably the right idea because we didn't have a return date to play. So I know it's hard for clubs. They're obviously pushing to win and looking for promotions, but it's a double-edged sword. You know, we obviously not having all the pitches available to us, which we won, or also will be in a fixture nightmare. I actually felt, you know, sorry for them, the amount of work that they needed to done. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully Football Victoria do come up with a scenario next year if the same thing occurs. I think there is an announcement coming up later on this week, also in regards to promotion and relegation and also teams coming up. So hopefully we get a little bit more. But that's for another episode. We want to thank everyone that's watched episode 1. Please go back and have a look. We are also on YouTube and Spotify as well. We will have other social media updates shortly as we get things going, but we can't thank you all for our support and the messages we received, and hopefully we can continue to bring on more content. Sorry. Make sure you give us a follow on our own platform. So on mine is Sifka, on Han and Han Solo, all dots in between. And we'll also, like I said, we'll get the YouTube and other stuff going shortly. So let's finish off with the remainder of the season. We start off with round 11, and that was between Heidelberg and Calder United. And strange enough, we did this game, Han. So how did you see this one?
Yeah, no, what a blockbuster. I think it was the first game back from lockdown as well. So there was no crowd. So it was just, I guess, a bit different vibe than what you're used to. I think this for the first time ever, I don't think we were used to having no crowds, especially at Olympic Park. So for us to be able to kind of call the game and bring it to the viewers at home was pretty cool as well. But yeah, big matchup. These are the two teams that I love seeing play. Calder United, you know, being, you know, such a dominant team in the past, up against Heidelberg in their home ground at Olympic was a cool matchup because we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, Calder was on paper probably the better team at the time, but with the results in the end, we saw that too from, I think, the goal from Bonnie Davis was just, you know, spectacular, and also the confidence boots, you know, that you can see from Heidelberg. But Calder had so many shots, you know, in the first half, everybody had a go. it wasn't their day, you know. Sometimes every single shot goes in, and on this occasion for Calder, none of them went in. It was, you know, even Catherine Zimmerman couldn't get a ball in. So I think it was just the defensive pressure from Heidelberg on that day. And I think you and I was on the call, and was it Melissa Maisel's man of the match?
Yeah.
She just stopped them all.
Absolutely. She came up real big in that game and just really made sure they were in it. And also Steph Galea, just captain's game, just really ran rampant in that midfield, chased down everything, made sure that she followed all her charges. And, you know, her linking up with Sydney Allen, they really did make it difficult for Calder. And as you mentioned, Calder just couldn't find the back of the net. Maisel's was absolutely phenomenal. Probably one of the best keeper performances for the year. The amount of shots she did get taken, just phenomenal. And, you know, Calder were probably more disappointed after having, I think it was a 3-week break, and, you know, they thought, great, we can get back in it. You know, they knew Heidelberg wasn't in great form. They were very cold. I think they were back with a couple of losses as well. So That was a big surprise. But you know what? Sometimes those games go that way. And unfortunately for Calder, they went against them. And Heidelberg came away with a very, very handy 3 points. We'll move on to the next one. And this was between South Melbourne and Box Hill. And this is another big game. South Melbourne just continuing on with their fine form and really just cementing themselves as one of the teams to watch for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, it was around 12, and I think you called that game at Lakeside. So seeing South in their home ground is, you know, next level. They kind of like bring their A game. Something about playing there is, you know, incredible to watch. Yeah, you've got, you know, players like Naomi Chinima, you know, playing for City, for example. I think she just signed a 2-year deal today, or, you know, a couple of days ago. So you have players like her, and then what, Melissa Barbieri on the squad, and just stopping. So she's, even though they're leading, she's always there to protect the defensive side. And I think she's probably one of the oldest players in the league as well, and still kicking it strong, playing for South Melbourne. Then you've got players that, you know, up and coming. Sophia Sakalis played a good game, and I think she's going to Perth Glory in the next season. So South is just, they were smart in bringing in players that could really dominate the game. So for them being in that position and coming back from the break, I think they were in it to win it.
Yeah, definitely right. Martineau was phenomenal in the midfield. Absolutely played a captain's role. Lucy Johnson, it was a fabulous strike from her. Also, Caitlin Pickett managed to get another goal. But it was Catherine Goff just ran that byline as much as you would want. And she just kept attacking. And in the end, really, South could have had maybe 4 or 5 in the end. But just unfortunate they just weren't clinical in front of goals. But for me, I think for Box Hill, the new signing was Candela Bass. She was actually a great signing, absolutely technically really, really well. You could see her just the way she moved around and got into position. They did have a couple of chances, Box Hill, to really put the pressure on and make it a game, but they just couldn't find the back of the net. And Melissa Barbieri was absolutely phenomenal in goal. She just pulled out one of the biggest saves. Again, another keeper having a great game. And it's basically Box Hill 2 points. I reckon it was 3 points lost for them. They could have won the game. They had a lot of chances, but South, just once they got their lead, they were just too strong and just maintained composure in the right times. They defended when they needed to. They just held up the ball when they needed to, and really couldn't find the end. Like I said, they could have had maybe 4 or 5 goals in the end, but unfortunately, that's the way it went. So we'll move on to round 13, and this is between FC Bullying Lions and Bayside United. And talk us through this one, Han.
So this one's a favourite of Bullying, playing in their Veneto Club home ground under lights. So for them, I think that when they're in that zone, that, I don't know, something about nighttime for them at Veneto, you know, they've chosen that fixture, and they go, this is what we, if you want to come to play, you're going to play under the lights. And I think Joey Lynch and Teo Pelizzeri was calling that game. And for them as a dynamic duo on the call was, you know, just incredible to watch and hear. But once again, big scoreline for Bulleen. They're really coming out of the kind of lockdown kind of break. They came back in the second half of the season for them. That's when they were, they're shaping up. The big stars really stepped up. You know, for example, I think Alana Janfieski, she just dominated that second half of the season. I think that kind of started the kicking of the goals for her after that game. She had a, you know, fantastic game. I think Tiffany Eliadis, you know, had a thundering header that you probably would want to watch again and again in the replay. I think she did that again later on in that game. I think Bulleen, their game plan works for them. Yeah. They could cut back, bring the ball in, and someone is guaranteed there with a header. And I think Eliadis did like a fantastic header, you know, athleticism in the air and then straight into the goal. So they've just got the superstar power, similar to what South Melbourne has. That's probably why they're both on top of the ladder, because they're bringing, you know, players that could really step up. And that game, I think, was incredible to watch. Obviously, unfortunate for their competitor, Bayside, being at the bottom of the ladder was probably not the best game for them. You know, they probably knew coming into the game was going to be a difficult one. But, you know, in the end, they've really shown that they can compete with strong teams. You know, keeping it 4-0 was probably a good result for them compared to what they did to South Melbourne a couple of rounds before that, 10-0. So for them, I think they're focused on not conceding too many goals, but Bulleen on fire that night.
Yeah, Tiffany Iliadis scoring 2, Jancheski 1, and also Morrison, the captain, 1. So Bulleen just going along nicely there. Probably the one that doesn't get enough mention, I reckon, and we'll talk about it once we wrap up the season about Bulleen. But no one seems to be – it was always South Melbourne, Calder, Effie emerging, Bulleen. Not really much talk about them, but even though, you know, they're really up there. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. We'll move on to round 14. And this is a very good game. Another one is between Heidelberg and FC Bulleen. And this time, not a great result for Heidelberg. Bulleen doing a number on them, winning 7-0 in the end. And how did you see that one, Han?
Bulleen, unstoppable. I think they just went on the same energy they had prior to coming into that game. And I think, speaking of Kimon Taliadoros, he was on that call with Greg Blake. So that was cool to kind of get an insight about the game from Kimon. So no, it was cool to watch kind of like a seasoned player almost. And then now the CEO of Football Victoria, and then Greg Blake being, you know, an awesome commentator. With that game, that was after Steph Galea had the second red card from the previous round against South Melbourne. So she was absent from that game. And I think that showed sometimes if you feel that the vibe of the team without their captain being there, you do see that absent. And I think that affected their game. And Bulleen, they just capitalized on scoring goals. They were just on fire. I think Alana Jandjeski got a hat trick on that game. Tessa Sonio had an awesome goal from range. Tiff Eliadis once again got on the scoreboard. And then the last two from Quigley was fantastic as well. So they were just there to just score goals. And Heidelberg just couldn't stop them in any way. Unfortunate for them on that day.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Rachel Quigley is scoring 2. Jancheski scoring a hat trick, and Eliadis and Serino adding to their misery. But you're definitely right. Steph Galea out of that Heidelberg team, just they are a different team, just gives them a drive. And like you said, getting red carded from the previous game. And then that was back to back 7-0 losses. So Heidelberg would have been looking at it going, what do we need to do differently? You know, it takes a big toll on players, especially when you get back to back 7-0 losses. It's not as if they were terrible. I just think on the day, sometimes it goes against you, as we mentioned previously. And Bulleen, just whatever they shot at went in, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes. Sometimes you learn from it. And I think looking back at the season, they'll understand where they went wrong, where to make improvements. And going forward, they'll understand what they need to do a lot better. We'll finish off with the final game that we did manage to finish off, which was round 17, and that was between FE Emerging and South Melbourne. And wow, this was another cracker of a game. And I think it was probably one of the games of the season. Unfortunately for FE Emerging, it didn't go their way, with South Melbourne coming up big, big winners, winning 4-0. And thanks goals to Caitlin Pickett, Melina Ayres. So it's another phenomenal performance from South Melbourne. How did you see this one?
This one, probably a lot of people didn't know, was after another lockdown, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the kind of short break that we had. And then this was probably the last game. Well, we didn't know at the time, was going to be the last game of the season. I think Neil Simons was calling that game brilliantly down at Kingston Heath. So that was brilliant to watch. Unfortunately, I think didn't have any crowds as well. So that was a bummer, because I'm sure a lot of people would love to see South and Effie Emerging, you know, come and support them play. I don't know what to say about that one. It was a tough one because we thought FV was going to be in it. They did have the skill that, you know, there's a lot of cool players that, you know, you see up and coming on that squad, but South, they're just dominating, you know, everything, all aspects, you know, from their scoring to their midfield to their defense. You know, you got Chinima at the back just stopping everything that's coming through. And then I think it was, if you probably would replay it again, but the Barbieri's save, that save that she got in the air and then she fell straight back, like saved it, was just incredible to watch. So she's, you know, not showing her age whatsoever. So they really kind of brought in a lot of aspects of the game that you want to see. I think that was it the time of the Olympics or was it afterwards? I can't remember, but it was just bringing in that A game. But what can you do at the end of the day with FV versing a team like South? I think for them, they thought they're going to have a shot at it. But at the end of the day, versing South was a difficult one. Don't know what more else to say. Alex, fill me in more.
Look, I think it's just South, just the quality of play that they have. Not that FV don't have any quality, but the quality that South had in that team. They're a very, very well-drilled team. Every player knows what they need to do. They know what they need to bring. And I think they're just phenomenal to watch. Like, you just sit back and watch it and you can understand what they want to do. You know, when you're watching some teams, you can understand like how they're trying to play and you can see what the next pass is, like 2-3 passes ahead, and you watch South and it all unfolds in front of you. Whereas other teams just looks like they're running around and they're free. I'll just pass it to them and then hope for the best. South are a really well-drilled team. They don't ease off. I think that's one of the things that a lot of teams find it difficult is they don't let you rest. When they don't have the ball, they make sure they chase you down, they block, they put the pressure on you to turn it over. Then once you turn it over, they're up the other way. They've just got runners everywhere. Like we said, Martineau, just phenomenal in midfield. And Catherine Goff can run all day. We did a cup game, the Nike Cup, and we watched Catherine Goff just run and run and run. And she knows as soon as she gets that ball, I'm off running. Sort of like Gareth Bale when he was with Tottenham. He just got the ball and just ran. And she could just run and run and no one could keep up with her. So South just far too strong in the end. And if we look at the ladder, and we'll just bring that up for you. If you have a look, South Melbourne, 12 games, 33 points, only one loss. And it was very early on in the season. But from then on in, they just ran away with it. Bulleen, like we said, not really a team that gets mentioned a lot, but they were in second place, really hunting for, you know, South. And then you've got, you know, the 2019 champs, Calder United on 25 points. If they're emerging, I think at 22, I think that's probably where they belong. I think in fourth place, I think there are a lot of youngsters in that team that will, in the next 2 to 3 years, really develop and really be strong. It's just hope that, you know, if they can keep them. If they can't keep them, hopefully they've got backups on there. But, that top four, I think, is correct. I think then you look at it, Alamein were a hit and miss all season. You know, they could surprise you one round, then the next round, it's just nothing happened. I think Heidelberg's a bit disappointing for me. With the talented players that they do have, it's just not something, just wasn't there this season. I don't know whether, you know, COVID impacted them. I'm not sure what it was, but, you know, they had some real big losses. I think back-to-back 7-0 losses, which, you know, took it away. I know Steph Gallier was away injured for some of that, and also red cards. But I think this Heidelberg will look back and think, right, we had a disappointing year. Once we come back, we really need to make sure that we go at it again and really knuckle down. You can't afford to have those big 7-0 losses. You can have those one, you know, close games where you lose by a goal or so, but, you know, having big results like that. Box Hill, I think we'll start to see them improve. I think next season we'll see a lot better. I think a lot of the kids got experience this season. I think they really showed glimpses of playing well. I think, depending how the recruitment is on this season, for the following season, how well they do. But really, they really need to lift the game. And I feel sorry for Bayside United. 12 games, no wins at all, straight 12 losses. only scored 6 and clocked 59. So real tough for Bayside United. You know, they did lose their striker, Rachel Sturton, and I think it was Edwards to Preston. For Bayside, it's forget about this season, move on to the next, and really make sure they recruit well, because you can't afford to have those big losses. I think the biggest one was FV Emerging, I think it was, or Calder was a knock at 9 or 10 nil. I think you did one of those games. You can't afford to have those big losses.
Yeah. I think they had a big one also with South Melbourne.
That
was the first one of the season where it was double digits. So we thought we weren't going to see that again. But, yeah, for Bayside, I think for them it was just the norm. They went, all right, here we go, another 10-goal loss. So for them, yeah. I think it was just more the confidence of being ripped under them. Reset, probably, you know, the coaching staff, maybe find a bit of movement in there and changes would probably help them out. Because I think they're kind of struggling all aspects of the game, not just, you know, scoring goals, but also defending them as well. Yeah. Box Hill, they've got Erin Hudson as their goalkeeper. So they're keeping that, you know, strong, because I think she's played in the W League as well. So if you could bring in players that can help them improve the game, that would be awesome for the bottom teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if that some real smart recruitment in off-season can really get them going again. And if we look at the goals, Melina Ayres, 17 goals. So that was a phenomenal performance for her. Next best was Danielle Wise with 11. And then Alexandra Sinclair on 10, Lucy Johnson on 9, and Tiffany Iliades on 9. So Melina Ayres taking out top goal scorer. So again, phenomenal performance from her. We've watched her, we've commentated her games, and just an absolute gun of a strike, and one to really, really watch next season. I think defenders really need to clamp her down and just really not let her score so much, because I think she had one game, she had 4 or 5 goals. So she's really showing her class. So as we said, unfortunately, that was the season that was. There was no champions crowned for back-to-back season, which is probably a little bit of disappointment. But what was your memory, Han, for this season? Or your best memory?
So many. The game that I called with you was pretty cool. That was, you know, when Heidelberg won against Calder. That was a pretty cool memory for them. They were so stoked, because I don't think they've bet Calder in a long time since they can remember. Really, I think Steph Galea, I was talking to her, and she was like, this is the first time we've bet them. So that would go, you know, pretty chuffed about that. I don't know. There was a few good ones. Yeah, I just love every game. You know, I think for us, we all took it for granted once upon a time. So to kind of be able to have a game every week, or what it was really, was cool. But yeah, I think that the game that we called together was pretty cool to watch. It's always nice to see South Melbourne play. Box Hill, I think one of my first games when I called Box Hill and Calder, I think I'll remember that. First ever debut game at Wembley Park. So that was, going to be in the books as one of my favourite games, because it was my first one. That was mine. What about yours, Alex?
I agree. I think the Heidelberg game was a really good game, exciting game. I think another one for me was South Melbourne versus Box Hill. It was a close game, 2-0 scoreline. It doesn't look like it, but it was a really, really tough day. It was beautiful Melbourne weather, especially playing at Olympic Park. It was just phenomenal. Sorry, Bob Jane, it's called. It was just phenomenal. It was a great performance from both teams. Box, who really had a lot of chances, could have killed, even won the game, but it wasn't their day. But yeah, that wraps up our season. Now we move on to our next segment, which is called Good News Stories. So these are stories that have come out of the NPLW and also other women's football news. So we'll just go through them, and hopefully if there's any other ones, we'll add them in after we do the editing. But firstly, Jenna McCormack from South Melbourne has been included in the Matilda squad against Ireland, which the game will be played on the 22nd of September in Dublin. So that's a phenomenal opportunity for Jenna. Obviously was previously a Matilda, so that's huge for her, especially coming off the back of the, you know, Olympics, which they finished third. That's a phenomenal result.
Yeah, Jenna, she's just build her way up and gain experience. You know, she's traveled around the globe to play football. She's traveled interstate a few times. So to have her, you know, play for the Matildas again, as you would say, is going to be incredible to watch. You know, some that you're familiar with, and you've seen play, and you've seen, you know, very close contacts. And then to see them on the big stage is going to be pretty special for, you know, people that are fans of MPLW, to see someone that you're very familiar with. Yeah. Is going to be incredible to watch. Yeah. She's played everything. She's played AFL as well. She had to quit that to I guess play football full, or, you know, soccer full time. So
yeah,
no, it'd be definitely something special for her to be on that squad, and hopefully she gets a lot of game time so we can see her, you know, do her magic.
Absolutely. And hopefully we can get organized to get Gemma on, and hopefully we can get her insights at what it's like, because it'd be great to find out what is camp like and also going there and playing. So Jenna, if you're watching this episode, do get in touch with us. We'd love to get in touch with you. Next one is Lucy Johnson from South Melbourne, has managed to get a move to Newcastle Jets in the W League. That's a fantastic result. Not so much for South Melbourne, but for her, Lucy Johnson's phenomenal. That's a great signing for Newcastle Jets.
Yeah, when I found out, I was pretty stoked. I was like, wow, that's, yeah, huge signing for her. So you know, a player that could show that she can play in the, you know, the big leagues, I guess the top league in the country, to have that opportunity to get signed for Newcastle would be great. So obviously big loss with South. I guess you might play when the season's over, hopefully, back for South, but no, well, definitely something to look forward to coming into the W League season.
Yeah, and hopefully we can try to get in touch with Lucy and just hear all about it, how it come about. It will be interesting to see how player movements occur in the W League. Another good news story is FV emerging coach Helen Winterburn has been selected to participate in an inaugural AIS Elevate coach. So that's fantastic news to see Helen being selected there, and the opportunity to, you know, gain further knowledge and improve on what she currently knows, and then, you know, who knows where that could progress.
Yeah, it's no, very lovely to see opportunities for female coaches to be in that position. You know, you don't see that very often, and, you know, to have a coach like Helen with all of her knowledge and skill now to kind of improve on that, and that'll be up and coming for a lot of, you know, female coaches out there, that there are opportunities and avenues that they, you know, can look forward to or look into building up their career and future. So now that's pretty big news, and, you know, something that we don't see very often. And when we do want to promote it. But no, congrats to Helen for that.
Yeah, well deserved also. So it'll be good to see. And then watch out MPLW when she comes back, because it'll be good to see how it works out. Following on with W League, we're going to have three new teams over the next 2 years, which is fantastic to see. The W League is expanding, which is giving more opportunities to girls and women in Australia. So Wellington Phoenix will come in 2022, and Central Coast Mariners and Western United will be in 2023. So that's another fantastic opportunity to showcase our great game, especially heading into the Women's World Cup in 2023. That's great news.
Yeah, Wellington was, I had no idea that was going to happen. And then the news broke. I was like, wow, that's going to be pretty cool for the players to travel there and vice versa. So that's going to be, you know, for the players, a great opportunity to, I guess, fly over the water to play in New Zealand. And Western United, as probably most people know or not know, they're affiliated with Calder United. Yeah. So the squad has been working very closely with Western United with their merge. And now it was pretty stoked, and a lot of players are, I guess, pretty happy to get the opportunity to, you know, go from mini mini roos, I guess, or the small Socceroos to the big time. No, they've something is happening and brewing in that little little West Side team there, and I think big things to come. And 2023 is not far away.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's how many months, you know, 12 months away, and you've got, you know, another team coming onto the W League. So now I can't wait for that. And it's, as you said, a big boost to the women's football to have a lot of teams come on board, and now a lot of players, a lot of talent. So now I can't wait.
Yeah, and continuing on with that news, the PFA and the APL have agreed on a 5-year agreement that will include upgrades in the training venues, travel and accommodations. So it's good to see that players will be looked after. There will be a 32% increase in the W League salary cap, incremental wage increases. There'll be a look at investment in youth and player welfare, as also development programs. So once again, more fantastic news for the women's game with the increase of salary cap. And also the big one for me is, yes, you can pay the players and that's great, but giving them the opportunities like what's called with, you know, having the same training access, changing rooms, development, player welfare is so important now these days. As we can see, there's a lot of mental health issues and struggles that players go through. And just to have that, you know, that support and backing is a fantastic. And also development programs, you know, we want to see that, you know, futsal doesn't just hit, you know, hit a peak and then it dies off. It keeps going through the ceiling and doesn't stop going until we produce, you know, constant, you know, football players. So again, another fantastic result over the last 2 weeks coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a great aspect of the game at times. You know, the men's got that facility in place and you kind of think, well, where are the women's, where can they go to kind of, you know, build up on their football? They don't really have any place or even people to kind of reach out to. So now these programs and investment in facilitating that will definitely boost the game. Because sometimes you, as you will probably notice in some players, they're kind of stuck. Unless you're signed to a big league, where do you go from then to build up on your game? But no, it's fantastic to see in the past coming years have just upgraded and really promoted the game. So I think having that secure World Cup placement in 2 years, I think that's really just boosted up the game for the women's already. So no, awesome.
It is. And that's pretty much our show for this week. We can't thank you enough for episode 2. We want to thank, obviously, one, all the teams that welcomed us to their stadiums and let us broadcast. They're always accommodating to us. They make us feel part of their team, despite being neutrals. So we want to thank all the clubs that, you know, did allow us to come and commentate their games. We can't thank you enough for your support. Without that, we wouldn't be able to broadcast the games. Obviously, the players, we do feel sorry for them. We'll, you know, hopefully we could have finished off the season, but it wasn't to be. And we just want to say, we'll call it out there. We will have a special guest next week. We won't give away names. We'll give out a few secret details during the week. But if any other players, coaches or administrators want to have a talk to us about the season or the season ahead, please get in touch with us here. This is your voice. We want to hear it. We want to, you know, hear your thoughts on the game and where's it going. And also, we want to thank, obviously, our sponsors. Without them, we couldn't get the show going. And it's also, you know, without their support, we can't do the editing properly. So Onflow Media and Decal Kings, we thank you enough. And if there's any other sponsors that want to come on board and sponsor us, we're more than happy to accommodate you. Get in touch with us. We love to broadcast this weekly and, you know, give the best sort of show we can give you. But if you want to become a sponsor, let us know. And that's about it, Han. I want to thank you again for your joining us tonight. It's always great to have you. And obviously, we'll have our special guest next week. Don't tell who it is. But any other players or coaches or administrators want to come on, let us know. We'd love to interview you. We could do pre-planned questions, nothing out of the extraordinary. And Han, I'll leave you with the final words.
Alex, yeah, as you sadly said, season's over. You know, our first one in it. We loved it. We love being part of you know, every aspect, and love calling the games. It's just been incredible to watch. And the season, you know, very sadly have come to a disruptive end. It's not the end though, you know, plenty more to come. And, you know, we just can't wait for to be back on the pitch, just like the players. And yeah, if anyone out there want to come join us and answer a few questions about the season, and just, or just have a chat with us, no, we'd love to kind of hang out for a bit and, you know, see where this, you know, podcast go, because we just love talking about just the women's football, and we like to get, you know, the word out there and talk about it. But no, thanks again, Alex, for putting this together. It's been fun. It's obviously a weird time. We wish in the future that we can be in the same room and not have to go through this square box. But no, it's been an incredible, incredible season, incredible time to kind of get the women's football up and going. But sadly, it has come to an end, and, you know, we've just got to be more hungry, I guess, next season to be back on it.
Absolutely. And like we said, thank you all for watching. Stay safe. Hope to see you shortly. And thank you all for watching. We'll see you all next week.